Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied to us now and ever henceforth. Amen. First, I wish to bring the greetings of the children of God from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and especially from my home congregation in Hancock, and then from Atlantic and South Range and Painesdale, for these are the congregations that especially asked me to bring their greetings to you. And now, with that hope and prayer, that we may receive some greetings from the heart of the Heavenly Father, I shall read for our morning's meditation from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the first 12 verses thereof. Matthew 7, 1 through 12. And the words read in the name of our beloved Savior are as follows. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye want that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. We have heard many speakers already speaking about the love of God and how we should love one another. And oh, it is the most wonderful thing that man can possess, and that is love. But there are two kinds of love. Natural or human love, and divine or godly love. Natural and human love is something that is very precious. Excuse me. For if that did not exist, then there would not be many families that would be together for a long time. But so often, this human or natural love is confused with passion. That it is thought that it has to be expressed in hugs and kisses. But natural love is something that should be bear such fruit that one trusts, serves, and obeys one another. For when distrust and disobedience and suspicions arise between people, then there cannot exist peace or joy among them. But divine love is entirely different. That is a love that God has instilled in the hearts of men. Jesus says that he has come to kindle a fire, and what does he desire but that it shall burn? And the fire that Jesus came to kindle was the fire of love, divine love. And when John the Baptist tells us that I baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, who was preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoes I am unworthy to loosen, he shall baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul in the 5th chapter to the Romans tells us the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts through the Holy Ghost that is given unto you. Here is the baptism of fire in the Holy Ghost. When God instills his love into our hearts at the time that he gives us his Holy Spirit, this is the gift, the birthday gift of God, when one is born again, born of the Spirit of God. And that love is first of all toward him who loved us first, Jesus our Lord and Savior. God is love. And then it is directed toward them who are his own, and toward all mankind in general. And that love is something that is the same as God himself. For God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And godly love that is in us, likewise, it hates sin, but it loves the sinner. And when Jesus tells us in the 14th chapter of John, the 23rd verse, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And the Father shall love him also, and I and the Father shall come and dwell with him. So, here in this Sermon on the Mount, of which I read that short portion, in the closing words of our Savior, he makes this statement, "By their fruits ye shall know them." God is looking for fruit, the fruits of divine love. It is easy to talk about it, but it is much more difficult to perform it. And therefore, remembering what Jesus says, that if a man love him, or if a woman love him, or if a boy or a girl love him, he will keep his word. That is, he will obey the Lord. He will walk in the light as he is in the light. He will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses such from all sin. So when he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what measure, for ye shall be judged, for with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Judge not. God hasn't put us as judges. When Jesus speaks of the judgment that shall befall us one day, he speaks two parables that are recorded in the 13th chapter of Matthew. One was the tares among the wheat. The other was the gathering in of the fish and separating them. The disciples wanted to pluck the tares from among the wheat, but the Lord says, "No, that doesn't belong to you. You are not given that authority to judge." And when he explains that the harvesters are the angels, and they will separate the tares from the wheat, why has not God given man the right to judge? Because man can only judge from what he hears and what he sees. He cannot look down into the hearts of others. But God is such, he does not judge according to and sin. And we become filled with remorse. It isn't the desire of a child of God to sin, but through the weakness of the flesh, he will fall into sin, for none of us are sinless. But immediately, when our heart becomes sad, and in spirit we say, "Dear Father, I did not want to do that. Forgive me." He looks down into our hearts. He knows whether we are sincere or not. And therefore, he has compassion on us. For he says, know thy sins, be sorry for them, and turn unto me, and I will be gracious unto thee. But man who does not see into the heart of another, he can judge that person sharply, even cut him off and cast him aside. There are such who do not see the work of God in others unless it is performed through him or through someone who he thinks is the proper one to perform that work. For we are such that we see things darkly as through a glass. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. And therefore, we are unworthy to judge others. But we can judge ourselves, and if we judge ourselves, then we shall not be judged. And the only way to judge ourselves is by the Word of God. We place that Word before us. And when we do this, we will surely behold that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That as St. Paul states, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The good that I would I do not, the evil that I would not that I do. Yet not I, but sin that dwelleth in me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul found only one deliverer and one deliverance, and that was Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Oh, beloved, how can we thank God sufficiently for so loving the world, so loving me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear Jesus, thou who shalt judge the living and the dead, before thee we will stand on that great day when the heavens and the earth shall flee before thy face, when both the great and the small shall stand before thee, when the books are opened and the book of life also is open, when we shall be judged by the things that are written in the books, and that is our own record, for each of us carry our own record with us, and that is called conscience. And in it is recorded all that has been done from the cradle to the grave. And only those things that have been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb will not be found there on that day. And oh, beloved, what a blessing it is that our sins, our shortcomings, our weaknesses can be blotted out in the blood of the Lamb. That it can be written, all is paid for. When our name is found written in the book of life, then we can take our place on His right side and hear from His lips, "Come ye blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom that I have provided for you from the foundation of the world." But whose ever name is not found written in the book of life, he must take his place on his left side and hear from his lips these words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it is said that whosoever name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the sea of fire, into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what measure ye mete out, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Oh, how much easier it is to see the faults of others, and how often our own faults are hidden from us. And because of this, we cannot see clearly, and therefore we are unable to judge rightly. I know that there are those who think that there are no Christians in Nigeria. Yet I, standing before God this morning, can testify that I have blessed hundreds who have come to me seeking the grace of God, bless them with the forgiveness of all their sins and transgressions. And I have heard from their own lips that they believe. And I have seen the same reaction that I saw up north in Skull, Norway, where those children of nature, those Laps, who had come there in a great flock to the winter, to the summer festival, and has stated to me that we have been awaiting these meetings like the rising of the sun, as we have tended our herds of reindeers on the tundras up north. And when God, through His Word, found their hearts so that the grace of God opened to them so greatly that they began to bless one another, they began to rejoice and thank and clap their hands and jump with joy that their sins are forgiven and that they are the children of God. It was something to behold. And that young priest from Vadse who had come there to administer the Lord's Supper and had asked me to assist him, He said in Norwegian that "Hva hva erde?" What is it? What is it? I said it is the Spirit of God that is moving the children of God to thank Him for His goodness and mercy. And he says, "Velsigner de hverandre." Are they blessing one another? And I said, you can hear with your own ears that they are blessing one another with the forgiveness of their sins in Jesus' name and atoning blood. Then he says, "Ye are aldri, aldri," said the fair. But I'd never seen it before. No, he hadn't, because he had been in southern Norway where there was no living Christianity, and he had only been 3 weeks up north. And after the communion service, he said to me that "I have learned more today than I have ever learned in all my life." And I told him that if you will remain up north, you will learn much more. I saw the same reaction among those Nigerians who said that we believed in God and in Jesus Christ, but we knew that there was something lacking. But what was lacking, we did not know. But now we know it was the forgiveness of sins. And when they came forward to want their sins to be forgiven, they clapped their hands and rejoiced and thanked God for His grace. So to me, they are believers. And I own them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyone else can judge them as they see fit. But let them be aware that they too shall be judged in like manner. We can see faults. Oh yes, there are many faults in those childlike Nigerians. And when St. Paul told the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia, who blasphemed him, then he says, "We shall turn unto the Gentiles." And the Gentiles rejoiced and thanked God that now the opportunity is given to them that they can hear the living gospel. And St. Paul states that as many as God had ordained for eternal life believed. As many as God has ordained to eternal life believed. And it is God who ordains every single one who shall enter into eternal life. Therefore, Jesus says in the 15th chapter of John, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain." It is God who ordains. It is God who chooses. And it is God who justifies us by faith, who gives us the peace of a good conscience through the forgiveness of all our sins and transgressions, who gives us His Holy Spirit to witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, who gives us the peace and joy and blessed assurance of salvation, so that we can say with St. Paul, "I know on whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." So let us, beloved, remember that we are such who can easily see the faults of others, but so often our own faults are hidden from us. When Jesus then says that thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. First, cast out the beam. To me, that beam is such distrust in others that we do not fully know and understand. We do not distrust anyone whom God has used us to bring him into the kingdom of God. But often we distrust others whom God has used to bring into his kingdom. That, are they really true Christians? I remember Brother Einley, who was one of the first ones with Brother Juntunen and Kaikkonen, the father of the one who is now in our midst, Brother Kaikkonen and Krekula. For they were the first ones who dared to come to preach the word of God from Finland to the Apostolic Lutheran Church of America. And they had been forewarned that they are heretics. But they came, for they said, that is the commandment of the Lord, to preach the gospel to all people. And when then they were judged that they did wrong for coming, Einley said, it doesn't matter if the honor of my honor is trampled in the mud, as long as the honor of Christ is upheld. But if the honor of Christ is then trampled upon because he has used me as his servant for his work, then I must arise in defense of the honor of Christ. So it is, beloved, that it doesn't make any difference what happens to our honor. But the main thing is that the honor of Christ is upheld, and that his work is blessed and esteemed wherever it may happen, among whomsoever it may happen. So let us take the beam out of our own eye and not look suspiciously nor distrustfully upon one another or upon those whom God has called and opened the door for us to enter in to bring the gospel of Christ. that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. And Jesus says in the 24th chapter of Matthew, this gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of Christ, must be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation. Then the end will come. The end will not come before then. So we are told, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The children of God are precious to the Lord. They are holy because God has made them holy. They are sinners, but nevertheless they are saints, because when they have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ according to Scripture, and their faith has been accounted unto them for righteousness, that is the perfect righteousness of God. And when God gives His Holy Spirit to a person, that person is sanctified, and he is holy in the sight of God. Thus the children of God, they are holy and precious. They are not to be cast to the dogs, nor to the swine to be trampled upon. And that the dogs and the swines represent the unbelievers. And let us remember, beloved, if we preach and then do not live according to that preaching, the salt has lost its savor, and the light of God does not shine forth to the dark world, the unbelievers. Therefore, I refer you again to the words of the Lord. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Him will the Father love also, and I, and we shall come and dwell with him. So we must live according to what we preach. We are to follow our Lord and Savior in doctrine, in life, and in suffering. And this has been my prayer so often. Oh God, help me that I may so live that I will not be an offense to Thee, nor to Thy kingdom, that Thy name should not come to shame because of me, or Thy kingdom should not suffer because of my acts and my living. So, beloved, here he tells us, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh will find, and that knocketh it shall be opened unto them. Oh, let us remember that the asking isn't always verbal. I mentioned in the minister's meeting how I was to see a friend in the hospital, and he had had a stroke. He was in unbelief. I had spoken to him many times before. And when I came there, I could see from his eyes that he was glad that I came. He reached out his hand, the hand that was not paralyzed. And I took hold of that hand. He couldn't say a single word. But when I talked to him, tears began to flow from his eyes. And I said to him, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. But you can ask, even though you have no voice, by squeezing my hand, asking that I would bless you with the forgiveness of all your sins and transgressions, because you know what is to be done, that you are a sinner and lost without the grace of God. He squeezed my hand hard, and I blessed him. He asked, even though he did not do it verbally. And it makes no difference how a person acts, asks. He shall receive it. And when he seeks, he will find it. God is such that he will guide and lead them, as he led the prodigal son up to the father's house. Oh, he encouraged him with the father's kiss. But many have been left there and have not allowed God to lead them further. Brothers and sisters, when we see the work of God in some, that they have been left there where they have received the father's kiss, let us help them to be led all the way to the Father's house, there where the servants are, where the children of God are, to whom the Father has said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and let us kill the fatted calf, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was lost, is found again, he was dead and is alive again. Oh, let us not be as the elder brother who judges and says to the Father, all these years have I served thee, and thou hast not given me even a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son who hath squandered his living with harlots, for him you have killed the fatted calf. And let us not begrudge anyone from being allowed to partake of the fatted calf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven and the water of life. For the hungering soul can be filled and the thirsting soul can be refreshed in Jesus and in him alone. So Jesus tells us that if we, who are evil by nature, and that is true, do good things to our children. When they ask for bread, we don't give them a stone. When they ask for an egg, we don't give them a scorpion. But when we do good to our children, because we love them, how much more will not our Father, Heavenly Father, do to us? He loves us. He loves you also, dear unbelieving child of God, or because you do not realize that you are his, because he has redeemed you. But you have spurned that redemption by not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us remember that the redemption is in the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of the grace of God. And when you spurn that, you will not humble yourself to acknowledge that you have sinned and ask forgiveness for your sins, then you have spurned the redemption and your birthright. You have sold it, as it were, for a few moments of pleasure in this world. God help you this morning, that you would come just as you are. There is sufficient grace for all, and the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. And to you, dear brother and sister, it is these last words that are ours. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. This is the law and the prophets. This is the golden rule, that if only men would live by them, how wonderful would this world be. No wars, no need of armies, no need of police, no need of prisons. But because men will not abide by the golden rule, chaos is in the world. And if we do not abide by the golden rule, in our church body, chaos will rule there also. So let us remember this golden rule and the concluding words of our Savior in his Sermon on the Mount, when he says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it stood, for it was founded on a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it fell, and great was the fall thereof." God help us, that none who have set their foot upon the way of life would falter on the way, but that we may all reach the goal and attain the reward, to join in with the hosts of heaven to sing the praises of him who loved us and gave himself for us, who washed us in his own blood and made us acceptable to the heavenly Father. To him be honor, glory, and dominion, now and ever henceforth. Amen.